My purpose in being here is to share the Word of God, and with that in mind, as we looked at the passage of Scripture that was read into our hearing this morning, take it for the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. The title of the lesson this morning is entitled, Looking Unto Jesus. As the Hebrew writer reminded, he says, we must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I believe that there is something significant about us looking unto Jesus. As Christians, we need to remember that Jesus is our focal point. And you see, when we lose our focal point, that's when we get into problems. If you want to know the mind of God, you need to look to Jesus. If we want to know the will of God, we need to look to Jesus. If we want to know the heart of God, then we need to look to Jesus. Jesus is, as Christians, Jesus is our everything. He is our everything. The Scriptures says to us that He is the Son of God. The Scripture says that He is also the sinner's Savior. He is referred to sometimes as the captive's ransom. Jesus is the breath of my life and yours. He ought to be the centerpiece of our salvation. But why is it so important? Why is it so important that we look to Jesus? We need to look to Jesus because He impacts our lives in so many ways. He impacts our lives in so many ways. Jesus makes you and I better. When we have a relationship with the Lord, we are better. We are made better by that. You know, Webster defines the word better as being improved upon, being more useful, being more desirable. I believe that Jesus specializes in taking us where we are and can make of us what we could never become without Him. You might be a good husband or a good wife this morning, but I can say to you without any hesitation, Jesus can make you better. You may be a good employer or a good employee this morning, but I can say to you again, if you have a relationship with the Lord, He can make you better. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, if you turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, here it is. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, Peter and John stood out. You see, people can't help but notice when we spend time with Jesus. But you know, I believe that Jesus does His best work on the rejects. Jesus does His best works on those who have been dejected. Jesus does His best work on the outcasts of society, the downtrodden, the wounded. You see, Jesus gives us the assurance this morning that all we need to do is trust in Him. Jesus says to us, trust in me, and you will be amazed at what I can do through you. Because Jesus turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. Jesus is indeed the ultimate specialist. You know, in the society today, we as individuals, in society, men have become so complex. And you know, when we look to various individuals, to various professionals to meet our needs, we have become so complex that we have a specialist for different things. But you know, when we encounter Jesus, the question might be asked, well, Jesus, what is your specialty? And Jesus answers in the affirmative, my specialty is everything. And He says, well, no one can be that good. No one can be that good. But I can say to you this morning, that's Jesus. That's my Lord. That's your Lord. That's our Lord. He is indeed the ultimate specialist. Why is He the ultimate specialist? Because for one, Jesus seeks the straight. Jesus finds the lost. Jesus can right the wrong. Jesus avenges the abused. Jesus defends the weak. Jesus comforts the oppressed. Jesus welcomes the prodigal. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus cleanses the dirty. Jesus mends the broken. Jesus fills the empty. Jesus blesses the poor. Jesus satisfies the hungry. Jesus clothes the naked. Jesus forgives the sinners. Jesus is our everything. The psalmist says to us in Psalms 34, verse 19, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So Jesus is indeed the ultimate specialist. So I said, whatever your situation is, whatever your problem, you can go to Jesus. In the second place, Jesus is indeed the producer of hope. Jesus is the producer of hope. That's why we can point one another to Jesus. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrew writer begins in verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 18 it says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope which is before us. And he goes on to talk about this hope. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We are living in a world where some have given up on hope. You know, for us in the Bahamas, every time we look on the television, we hear about this global economic crisis, which has impacted the entire world. And you see, some individuals have lost hope. But we as people of God, we have Jesus as the anchor. We have Jesus as the anchor of our soul. He is our rock. He is sure. He is steadfast. Those of us who have a relationship with the Lord, we have no need to fear. Why? Because our hope is anchored in the Lord. So despite the economy, despite the recession, we have a Savior who will always be with us. We have a Savior, Jesus, who points us to the God of all seasons. The God that we serve is a God for all seasons. So despite what the economy is saying, God always have our back. Sometimes we sing a song, I believe you sing it here too. We sing a song in Freeport entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And so I'm hoping that our hope is built on Jesus. And you see, when our hope is built on Jesus, he continues to be the wind beneath our wings. When our hope is built on Jesus, he becomes the treasure that you and I seek after. When our hope is built on Jesus, he becomes the foundation upon which you and I must continue to build our lives. You know, I always tell folks, you see, everything is rooted and grounded in our relationship. You know, sometimes we have problems in our relationship at home, husband and wives, parents with children. And a lot of times we try to get those relationships in the right perspective. We try to get it right. But you see, it can never be gotten right until we start with the top. You see, if our relationship with the Lord is not what it ought to be, we will never be the kind of husbands or wives that we've been called to be. If our relationship with the Lord is not what it ought to be as children, those of you who follow Christ, you will not be as respectful to your parents as you have been purposed. You see, when our relationship with the Lord is right, guess what's going to happen? All other relationships will fall into place. You see, Jesus impacts a lot of individuals in the Word of God. You see, David knew the Lord as his shepherd. Martha knew the Lord as the promise keeper. Lazarus knew Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Blind Bartimaeus knew him as the light of the world. John knew Jesus as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the one by whom, for whom, and through whom everything was made. In the book of John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, verse 3, John says, without him, nothing was made that was what was made. Without him. Let me read it correctly from John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, Verse number 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he knows what is wrong with your life and my life. But better yet, the great news is he knows how to fix it. You see, it's one thing to have some things wrong in our lives and don't know how to fix it. But you see, Jesus is the answer. He knows how to fix things. It has been proven time and time again. Whatever the question, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the problem, Jesus is the solution. Whatever the sickness, Jesus is the healer. Whatever the burden, Jesus is the reliever. Whatever the obstacle, Jesus is the overcomer. We looked at Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about us being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We must lay aside every sin, every weight that tends to set us back as Christians. But the key for us to overcoming, it says, looking unto Jesus. So if we want to overcome some obstacles, and we know that life can throw us many hurdles. We know that life can present us many challenges. But if we want to be overcomers, we need to look to Jesus. The Bible says to us that we can do what? All things through Christ Jesus. So we must look to Jesus. And whatever the path, it has been proven over and over again, Jesus is the way. I don't know about you, but many times I may try to do some things my way, but I always get into problems. So if we want to do it right, we must follow Jesus. He will always enable you and I to get it right. So my admonition to you, as well as to myself this morning, let's continue to look to Jesus. Let's never take our eyes off Jesus, because the minute you and I begin to take our eyes off Jesus, you know what happens? We begin to drift. We begin to stray. And so we need to find ourselves back on track. And so if you are off track this morning, I encourage you, let's get back on track. And the only way that we can get back on track is by getting in line with Jesus. In the third place this morning, as we explore the idea of looking unto Jesus, I believe that we need to continue to look to Jesus because Jesus makes change possible through faith. Jesus makes change possible through faith. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a passage of scripture I believe some of us might be very familiar with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, Jesus makes a difference in our lives. Jesus makes change possible. You see, in life, there are a lot of individuals sometimes, they struggle with things. They struggle with making changes, and they try to do it all by themselves, and they can't do it. But you see, Jesus makes change possible through faith. And when I talk about through faith, by a trusting faith, we will allow Jesus to make the change or to help us in the change, because Jesus is going to say to us, don't do it your way, do it my way. Trust me, and you will be amazed at what will happen. We must understand, no means of measure can divine the limitless love of the Lord. No far-seeing telescope can bring into view the coastline of his vast supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings upon our lives. Let me go back to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, it talks about how Abraham waited patiently, and it took over 20 years from the time God made the promise to Abraham for him to be blessed with the birth of his son Isaac. But you see, that promise, that fulfillment of promise, says to you and I that we don't need to doubt the power of God through Jesus. You see, when we think of Jesus again, Jesus forgives and forgets. Jesus helps. He helps and he heals. Jesus restores and rebuilds. Jesus reconciles, and Jesus also redeems. Jesus comforts and Jesus also carries. You see, when life says to us, that you have used up all of your chances, you know what Jesus answers? Jesus says to us, I am the God of a second chance. When life says to you, you have no chance. And you see, some folks look at us today and they look at us and they say, well, you have no chance whatsoever. But Jesus says, look at me. He says, I am the God of the no chance folks. If you're the ones who folks look and said, you have no chance, Jesus says, come to me. I am the God of the no chance folks. Why? You see, when life says to some of us, give up. And despite this economic time, some folks who have lost hope, they have given up on life. But you see, Jesus says to me, Jesus says to those folks, and Jesus trying to say to folks who feel like that, Jesus saying, just come to me. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And so because of that, we can praise God this morning. Like how we lifted our voices in songs praising God this morning. We can praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. We can praise God for his blood. Why? Because his blood covers all of our sins. All of our sins. That includes past sins. That includes present sins. That includes future sins. That includes big sins. That includes little sins. And every sin in between. And finally, we need to look to Jesus because Jesus provides continual access to God. Jesus provides continual access to the Father. In the book of John chapter 14, verse number 6. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus says, I am the way, singular. If we want access to God, we must look to Jesus. Jesus provides continual access to God. Jesus is described as our path to God. He blazed the trail. Jesus has smoothed the road. He has cleared the path for you and I. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you turn me there to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You see, he has done the work. And all we need to do is just simply follow in his steps. And you know, the wonderful thing about Jesus is we don't need to make an appointment. We can always call on him. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is we don't have to have the right connections. We know sometimes in society, we have to have the right connections. You know, it's who you know. But you see, the wonderful thing is we don't have to have the right connection because Jesus' love is available to all of us. We don't have to live in a certain type of neighborhood. We don't have to drive a certain type of car. We don't have to live in a certain type of house. You see, because with Jesus, he extends an open invitation. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all. The invitation is open to all of us. We have an open invitation with the Master, an open invitation. So my admonition to you as well as to myself, let us continue to look to Jesus because he is the key to knowledge. Let us continue to look to Jesus because he is the doorway of deliverance. Let us continue to look to Jesus because he is indeed the pathway to peace. The Bible says our relationship with God will give us a peace that passeth all understanding. You see, when we have a solid relationship with the Lord, despite the fact that the world around us may be going to pieces, we can still have a peace, and the world can't understand that. But you see, when we have a relationship with Jesus, he gives us a peace. We can remain calm in the midst of crisis. Why? Because we know who holds the future. We don't know about tomorrow, but you see, the one whose hand we hold, he controls the future. And so because we know him, we can be calm. We can be calm in the midst of the storm. And finally, as I said, we need to look to Jesus because he is indeed the gateway to glory. If we want to go to heaven, we have to have a relationship with the Lord. So my question to you this morning, if you're visiting this morning and you do not know the Lord, the question is, why not? You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus because all of us, every single one of us, are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so if you need to be saved this morning, you need to look to Jesus. You need to come to him. You need to believe that he is indeed the Son of God. Jesus said in the book of John 8, verse 24, if you don't believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. In addition to believing that he is indeed the Son of God, you need to be prepared to repent of your sins. The Bible says in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You must also be prepared to confess the wonderful name of Christ. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we must be prepared to be buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism, rising up out of that watery grave, a new creature in Christ Jesus. As Peter addressed the crowd on Pentecost in the book of Acts 2:38, when the folks were cut to the heart, they cried out, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You see, and that will put you into the right relationship. That will put you in the right relationship, and you need to then decide to be faithful to him. But what about those of us who have been baptized, those of us who are members of the body of Christ? Maybe for some reason, because of what is taking place in our lives, we have taken our eyes off the Savior. My encouragement to us this morning, let's put our eyes back on the Savior. Let's look to Jesus. Let's not look at the person on the side of us, the person in front of us, or the person back of us. Let's look to Jesus. Do not take your eyes off the Savior. And you see, for us, each of us as Christians, our challenge is to point people to the Savior. That's our goal. It's to continue to point people to the Savior. He will make a difference in our lives. You see, all of us here, as Christians, are living testimony of what a relationship with the Lord will do. So let's give people hope. Let's give people hope. Jesus is indeed the producer of hope. But if we can help anyone in any way, if you stand in need of prayers, won't you come now, together we stand and sing a song of invitation.